Hi everyone, today we'll be talking about Rami Youssef's SNL appearance and how Eid is celebrated in the UAE and across the region.
We're also going to talk about Dubai Racing World Cup, which I got to go to, as well as Cowboy Carter, Beyonce's new album.
This is Culture Bites, coming to you from the National News. I'm Farah Andrews.
And I'm Man Jalal.
Hi.
Hello.
We're here without Inas.
We're here without Inas. The party begins.
Okay. Watch us go wild.
Inas who? No.
We're unsupervised. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's the last week of Ramadan, so I'm excited.
Yes.
I asked you how you are and then I answered.
But I like it when you do that. It's fine. Okay. I like it when you come in and just announce how you are. So you're good?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to Eid. Ramadan has been great, but it'll be nice to have breakfast.
Okay. Yeah, that it must be. You've got, so it's next week. We've got Eid next week.
Yes, Eid next week. And I think like the holidays have been announced, right? The public and private sector. So it's exciting.
We can plan things. We'll talk about Eid like
later
on in the show. Tip bit. But you've been up to something big. What did you do this week?
Yes, the big weekend, the Dubai World Cup races. It was my first time going. Have you been before?
Yeah. So in my past life, I worked at like lifestyle and entertainment magazines, and they were a very big part of like the social calendar, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so we had like it would be like almost like borderline trauma, like having
triggered
set up camp there and be like live editing a magazine that would go to press on the the Sunday, because it was back in the old weekends, with like everyone's names and all the social pages. Like sometimes it'd be like a whole supplement of just like images from it.
Oh my god, intense.
So I've not been back since.
Yeah, I wonder why. I mean, it was my first year and it was quite intense in that there is a lot happening. From the fashion side of things, from the like excitement side of things. Like, this might shock you, but I'm not really a sports guy.
But you are a fashion guy.
But I am a fashion guy. But what's great about the World Cup and the races is that even if you're not, you know, athletically or sportily inept, like you will get the idea of a race. It's just like the first one wins, it's quick, it's fast, not complicated.
Horses go. Horses cross the finish line.
People are cheering. Exactly. So you kind of get excited, even though you have no dog on in the race or whatever the phrase is. You just don't know what's going on, but you just get excited. So that's cool.
Yeah.
The vibe is very cool. And the fashion is interesting. Like, you know, like horse racing fashion is all about the floors, the bright colors, the hats. Yeah. I mean, you have to be very strategic, I think, with that, or you'll look like a circus. But a lot of the people there were actually very, very well dressed.
So there's like the style stakes competition.
Yeah.
Did you enter it?
No, I didn't. I went a bit late because it was like Ramadan and I broke fast at 6:30. Then I went. So I went a bit later. But, you know, like it is, I did wear a very nice pinstriped navy suit and a white shirt and a pink tie.
So you're like, if I had entered it, I'd have crushed it.
Yeah, I would have crushed it. But the light is very unforgiving in the horse race.
Do you think?
The big bright white lights, like if you're taking photos on your phone and you want to post on Instagram, like, it's a bit,
See, this is like the problem with Ramadan. Not that like, you miss golden hour.
Yes,
so
exactly.
If you're waiting until after iftar, then golden hour is not yours.
But what I did notice that I liked, I loved people who really put effort in. I loved the couples who were like doing the matching thing. That's like really cool. I like people who took traditional outfits and like reinterpreted them a little bit. There was this woman wearing like a Kenyan traditional dress, but it was like very horse race theme as well, which was cool. And I love it when guys like go all out and think up all the details, the socks, the pocket square. Yeah. Like, I like that. It's so cool. Like, we all came together and dressed nicely. How nice.
No, it is. And it is definitely, because something about mainly Dubai, not for like the whole of the UAE, I always find that like wherever you are, you're never the most underdressed or the most overdressed in the room. There's always like, there's like basically no dress code rules.
Yes, it's a range.
But the Dubai World Cup does tend to be somewhere where people are kind of like, right, here's the dress code. And there are kind of like spoken and unspoken rules for horse racing, like the hat thing. Like, people are meant to wear hats, that you're meant to, like, it's like certain like lengths of dress and these kind of like standards that like you aren't going to get turned away at the gate, but there are the kind of like the way people dress at.
And it's events. Cool because you can look at each other like very openly and just say, oh, I like what you're wearing, and it's not strange because everyone is there to dress up. Do you know what I mean?
I remember some of the years that I went, there was a lot of like hair incorporated into hats.
Interesting.
Did you see any of that?
I saw one that was like like ribbon, and it kind of came out like this. I think we actually have a photo of it in our piece on like the best fashion.
I saw the woman who won best cultural dress had like a Ukrainian flag incorporated into her piece.
I didn't see her, but okay. There was quite a few as well, like UAE celebrities. There was like the cast of Dubai Bling around. Yeah, they were all there, so most of them.
I saw members of the royal family were there as well.
Yeah. So it was a really cool place, and lots of families were just there with their kids. It's a really nice atmosphere.
There's also, obviously, there's like tickets that are not super cheap, but then there's like the very front. Those tickets are very affordable. They're very affordable. Under 50 dirhams.
Yeah.
So people can go, and like who really care about horse racing can go and catch the races, which is obviously the point of it. It's not just about outfit spotting.
Isn't it?
Okay.
But yeah. But yeah, it was really exciting. And I think people should go every year if they can.
Yeah. Would you go back?
I would definitely go back, 100%.
And if it is not during Ramadan next year, will you enter the style series?
Yes, I will. I'll go in early and I'll enter the style. I was trying to convince my friends to do it, but yeah, I would do that.
Or judge the style stakes.
Or yes, even better. How about I win 1 year and then judge the next year?
You can tell everyone what they should be wearing. It's like your hobby.
Exactly. It is, technically.
On the subject of horses.
Yes.
Let's talk about the other big horse news this week.
Big horse news. The Beyoncé's album.
Yeah, I'm sure she wasn't expecting to be linked to like equine news, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are. I mean, the album cover is her on a horse.
It is.
Cowboy Carter.
So have you listened?
I have listened, and I've also listened to the fans talking about listening about the music. Now, first of all, I am not a Beyoncé fan, but I also love the Destiny Child history.
Yeah.
I love some of the old stuff, but I'm not like a major follower. Are you?
No, we're coming at it from basically the exact same position.
Okay. Which is so good.
Yeah.
We're the average person.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not on the poles of like Beyonce, like crazy mega fandom.
Yeah.
No, that's not me.
We're not part of the Beehive.
We're not in the Beehive. Like I'm not traveling around the world to go to a Beyonce concert. I'm like not going to a Beyonce concert really. Yeah. Of course there's bangers, there's absolute bangers.
Yeah.
Be a fool to deny it.
Yeah, I like the fact, I think it was interesting that she's doing a country album. That's cool because like, I like country music. I like country pop, I guess. Like the Dolly Partons, the Shania Twains, the Faith Hills, the Garth Brooks. Like, I like that.
Okay, this is big for you then?
Yeah. Is it? I like that that's sort of more mainstream.
Uh-huh.
And I know that a lot of the songs on there are, what's the word, collaborative with, like she did Dolly Parton, she did something with Miley Cyrus, who has her roots in country music. But also there's some, I liked more the songs that were her own songs, that not remakes. So like the Texas Hold'em is her own song, and that's all over Instagram and TikTok. Yeah. So you probably heard it by now. And I like that it's kind of linked to the fact that she's from Texas and her own country roots. And Beyonce always does that in her albums. There's like a personal narrative connection to all of the songs.
So I've listened to it. I've listened to it all the way through a couple of times. It's nowhere near as country as I was expecting.
Yeah.
I think Texas Hold'em maybe was slightly misleading on how country influence it was going to be, because like that isn't what I get from the whole album.
It felt more gospel-y, is that the
there's
right
definitely
word?
Like there's like Amen, which is like very gospel.
Yeah.
And but I guess then obviously there's like links to the South there, and that kind of comes through, that makes sense. But no, it wasn't anywhere near as country as I was expecting.
I think the country aspect of it as well is the branding and the visuals of it.
Yeah.
And like it's fun, and it sort of positions it in a particular way.
For sure. So then what people are saying is that it's going to be part of a trilogy. So
I didn't know that.
There's like, but this might be fan theory rather than like straight fact. But then there's like the kind of like repetition of the two eyes, like Roman numerals, all the way through. Like, have you noticed that in the song? So like Blackbird is spelled with two eyes, Spaghetti is spelled with two eyes. So and then there's like the collaboration with Miley Cyrus is called Two Most Wanted, but it's like Roman numeral, II Most Wanted.
So what is the II significance? So
two, I guess.
Oh my God.
If that's where, so then is like the next one gonna be like Three Most Wanted, Spaghetti with three eyes? Is that what they would do?
Yeah.
But like there obviously isn't going to be a spaghetti on the album, or is that?
Maybe she's going to do like her other albums will be other genres, like Beyonce techno.
Yeah.
Beyonce
so there was like, and there's
rock,
and like, hip hop and dance, and like the Renaissance was like, is meant to be like the first in the trilogy.
Oh, right. Oh, God. Oh, yes. Okay, now it makes sense. Yeah. Not a numbers guy. But okay, yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of the Miley Cyrus thing, I think it's really cool that apparently they made sure they were not in the same place during the Grammys. They didn't interact during the Grammys, so none of the fans would ever think like, oh, they're working together. They just were completely separate during the Grammys. And I looked it up and I couldn't find any photos of them together. Isn't that interesting?
It's so funny how the internet runs away with things, though, because I've also read completely, like, on social media, there's probably no factual basis for this, that this is why fact checking is so important.
Yeah, a journalist.
That, Beyonce watched her Grammys performance and was like, yeah, I want you. And I was like, that's too fast for this turnaround. Yes. She was already on this,
especially, right? Beyonce, who was a meticulous entertainer in every aspect. I don't think she would just on a whim.
Beyonce wasn't pulling this together last minute.
No, not at all. And also, I know that Dolly Parton, like, fully approved the Jolene song, you know, the Jolene song, which is like a very famous song. Did you like it? I wasn't a fan of Beyonce's Jolene song.
So I've seen this interview with Dolly Parton years ago saying that the person she wants to cover it the most is Beyonce.
Ah.
Which, like, maybe is this, like, that could have been her planting the seed. She might have, like, manifested this.
Because I don't think of this as a cover. It felt like more like a remake of the song.
That song has been covered so much by so many people. It is a remake. It's not. Like, the lyrics are completely different. The lyrics are feisty.
Yeah, they're feisty. And they're complete. And everyone's licking it to the Becky with the good hair.
Yeah, 100%. That's what it is. Yeah. I've raised that man for 20 years. Woo!
Yeah.
Although, like, I have opinions about it that are, I feel like Jay-Z gets off too easy.
Of course.
We're not talking to Jay-Z in that song. We're talking to Becky, a shame.
Which is a shame because, I mean, you know, one can argue Becky with the good hair is also a victim.
Yeah.
You know?
Jay-Z, you're getting off too easy.
Yeah, maybe she should have, like, covered a different song that focuses on Jay-Z. Maybe.
But it is powerful. Like, the song is, like, I don't dislike it.
I don't dislike it, but I love the Jolene song, and I love all the covers, and I think it's such an amazing song, and the story behind when Dolly Parton wrote it is, like, so interesting. So to me, I'm like, oh, what's she going to do with this? And it was like, oh, it's like a, what would you call it? Not a revenge song, but more like a I'm going to get you song.
Yeah, kind of,
So I was like, oh, okay.
On the album, the prelude to it is Dolly talking. So it's like, it's just called Dolly P. And she is like, one of the things she's like, go get that girl with the good hair.
Yeah. It's interesting because Dolly is like one of those people that she's everywhere. She's like sort of become this, like, such an icon for all musicians. And I love that combination. And that's what I love about Beyonce as an artist. She's so collaborative, even with her songwriting. She works with so many different people. She wants people's opinions on things. So I like that about her.
And, like, if you look at, like, the people that she's collaborated on this album with, then I've read, like, the whole thing of, like, if she does win Album of the Year at the Grammys next year, which is, like, very viable, like, the absolute crew that she is going to take up on stage with her of all her collaborators is amazing. Yeah. That is wild, that list.
Because it was this past Grammys where Jay-Z won, like, not a Lifetime Achievement Award, some award, and he said it's crazy that
she's never won it.
So, you know, they're really gunning for that. But I'm of the mentality of, like, who cares? Like, she's the most famous. I believe that awards ceremonies are becoming less and less relevant, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I just think, like, no one can stop talking about Beyonce right now.
No, 100%. This album, like, literally, like, swept in the internet when it was released. Like, in our editorial meetings last week, like, there's a lot of things that are spoken about at the National that are incredibly pressing, but then it was like, and Cowboy Carter, and everyone had an opinion. And it only come out that morning and people had already listened to it all the way through, so that was, like, as impressive. Have you got a favorite song on the album?
I'm really cheesy. I mean, I really like the Texas Hold'em. I told you, it's been stuck in my head all week. It's good, and I like the song, I think the Amen song. Is it the Amen song?
Yeah, it's very gospel.
People always don't give Beyonce enough credit on her voice. I feel like they always...
Are you joking?
Yeah. I mean, no.
Yeah, I'm joking. Yeah. I feel but like people... What?
They always think like, oh yeah, she's an entertainer, she's a dancer, she da-da-da. They always compare her to, like, Adele. I always feel like people always compare her to Adele or, like, the big vocals. But I feel like with that song, you can really hear her, like, the operatic element of her voice.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Like,
yeah,
you know, Wendy Williams, like, a couple of years ago, she was, when she, her show was on, she talked about how Beyoncé can't sing, and people went crazy, and there's a lot of people agreeing with her. I mean, I don't think that, because I know her from Destiny's Child and the amazing harmonies they did. And I actually saw Destiny's Child live in New Zealand years ago, and I was so shocked by how great she sounds live. And I just feel like it was nice to hear that.
Yeah, like Survivor is definitely not a song I'm doing at karaoke. No. I'm not touching it.
any Beyoncé song,
absolutely not
really.
Any Beyoncé song.
Yeah.
The it's a cover, but Blackbird, so it's a Beatles cover. And at first I was like, what? Like, how does this fit in here? But that is beautiful.
Yeah, it's a stunning cover.
And that has
cover.
Been probably the song I've listened to the most on the album. And then the Miley collaboration, Two Most Wanted. That has been like in my head since I first listened to it.
Are you a Miley fan?
Am I a Miley fan? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like her music more so like towards obviously this end of her career. Mm. I wasn't there for the Hannah Montana years.
Yeah. I don't think I would be.
Party in the USA, yeah. Big for me. But yeah, I like Miley.
Yeah. I like her as well. I like her like energy and her vibe.
Yeah, I like her feistiness when she's like on stage like, I just won a Grammy.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Like, good for you, Miles.
But there's so many hilarious memes about when are we gonna get the sequel to Lady Gaga and Beyonce, because the end of the video to be continued.
The biggest lie ever told.
Yeah, biggest lie ever told. So it'll be interesting to see if this theory of the trilogy is correct, like who she'll be having in the third album.
For sure.
Like Lady Gaga, it'll have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm interested to see how this will trickle down in a fashion sense, like this cowboy vibe, how it's going to end up affecting everybody. Like, are people going to be wearing cowboy boots? Or are hats going to be a thing?
But this has become already a thing. Like every live concert now that you go to, like Harry Styles, Taylor Swift, like lots of other concerts that have been like tours that have been going on. Everyone's on the like cowboy hat hype. There's like lots of like those kind of like motifs that like trickle through and people's like apparel.
But I think like when Beyonce does it, it just hits a way more mainstream.
Yeah, so like next year we're just gonna see nothing but just like
cowboy
like denim.
Denim, double denim. Oh no, Beyonce and Justin Timberlake's photo is going to come back and haunt them.
You know, the double denim. Oh my gosh, what a seminal moment. Yeah. A beautiful, like, early noughties.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolute moment. The thing I think, like, the last thing about the album, because I'm not a Beyonce stan, and I've spoken to some of my friends who are Beyonce stans, and this is an album that they're kind of, like, apathetic with.
Oh really?
Whereas I'm like, oh, this is like the most I've liked it. So I'm like, maybe this is an album that's like not for the Beyonce stan.
Well, that's why I think like, why would you do a country album unless you're trying to like widen your reach and your artistic practice or your artistic whatever inclination and try and experiment. But you are, you know, as a result of that, gonna reach a different, complete different 100% audience.
100% completely different. But then there's like the argument that it's like the three different kind of like pillars of like the American music experience, which
third?
Is interesting. I'm trying to remember. It's probably rock, maybe.
Yeah, it would be rock. Beyonce rock album, that would be really interesting. I guess Tina Turner is like the ultimate like rock like, kind of queen.
Yeah, let's see if it happens.
Yeah.
So there's big news this week.
Yeah, huge.
Huge news. Rami Youssef has presented SNL.
Yeah, he was the host and it was so interesting and exciting. Like, I haven't seen the Rami show. Have you?
I've seen the first season.
Okay. So I know of him. I like think he's interesting. But when I watched the monologue, I was like, this is so surreal because as a Muslim who grew up in New Zealand, we never really talked about Ramadan outside of the house. It was never like a thing. And there were never any shows or anything on TV where you like saw people talk about Ramadan. So it was so surreal for me, like watching him speak about Ramadan in a very fun, nonchalant, easy way, witty way. I was like, God, if I was 17 and I had watched this, like that would have been so random and weird and interesting.
Also,
you know,
big,
great.
Right? They were like, oh, yeah, everyone, like there's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people who practice, you know,
and
the holy month of Ramadan.
Ramadan and, yeah.
So from that aspect for me, like as a Muslim, I thought that was like so fascinating and interesting. And like we've come a long way over the past like 20 years when it comes to like talking about different religions on a mainstream show like SNL, which is huge in the US and it's a live show as well.
Yeah. Enormous viewership.
Yeah.
And the monologue was punchy.
It was very punchy. It was like, what I like about him is that he's very good at combining like a very personal perspective, his personal narrative and where he grew up, and then mixing it with like social, political issues, and also adding like his, American Muslim experience. And he does it in a way that anybody can like tune in. You don't have to be American Muslim to get it, you know? So I think that's like a real art to do. And I think his show is a lot like that. It's like taking the personal and making it universal. And I think he really did that really well in the monologue.
For sure. Like, you aren't only watching Rami if you are Muslim. You aren't only watching Rami if you live in the US. You aren't only watching Rami if you've got links to this part of the world. Like, there is a lot of reasons to watch that show, mostly because it's incredibly funny. But then the secondary is, there's like a lot of kind of like very lived experiences that he's sharing as kind of normal.
And the way he talks about them as well, like I said, is it's so not just like nonchalant, it's like inviting you into the narrative. Like, and he also is not self-deprecating, but he knows how to make fun of himself. Like the promo for the monologue, for the whole episode was him talking to the camera saying, "I'm so excited to be the first Arab ever to host SNL. And then one of the cast members says, "Actually, you're not the first Arab." Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, I'm the first Egyptian." And he's like, "No, you're not the first Egyptian." "Well, I'm the first Rami." And he's like, "No, I'm not the first Rami." Like, I think that is hilarious because it was Rami Malek who did the first. And what's interesting is that I forgot Rami Malek had ever done it, because Rami Malek is of Egyptian heritage, but I think of Rami Youssef as more, I connect more to his identity. I know him as the Arab Muslim American. So to me, it was still seminal and an important moment on TV in pop culture history.
And so he kicked his monologue off with talking about Ramadan. He said, "It's an incredibly spiritual weekend. We're in the holy month of Ramadan," which is amazing. He also said it was a very spiritual weekend because Cowboy Carter was out.
And Easter as well.
Something for everyone.
Which is really funny.
And then it made me think of his, when he was at the Oscars, and he wore a black thobe that he got made for his wedding, and he wore it with a Zenga blazer. Yeah. And he was like, it's like the first weekend of Ramadan, so of course this is what I'm wearing. This is what I'd wear to go to the mosque. So this is why I'm here.
And a reinterpretation of that in a way that fits the red carpet. And he was wearing his artist for ceasefire pin. Which he brought up the issue of the happening in Palestine. And I think we were discussing this before, like how amazing it is. And that was probably one of the first times somebody on SNL would have said free Palestine.
Yeah, I've not watched every single monologue. So this fact check.
Yes, it's not fact check.
Fact checking, very please. But it's almost definitely the first time anyone has said free Palestine. And that's he said that on US TV on a very primetime slot.
Yeah, and there were cheers in the audiences.
Huge cheers.
Yeah, huge cheers. And it's just interesting, like you were saying before.
Off-air. We had off-air conversations.
Backstage conversation about how it just reminds us how like this conversation and the way we look at this conversation is changing over the past, specifically since everything started in October.
Yeah, the last 6 months for sure. But also in like the past few years, but very significantly in the past 6 months.
Accelerated,
And
even when he said the free Palestine part, he said it within the context of a wider joke, like a narrative, personal narrative joke. He was speaking about his friends asking him to pray for them for various reasons. And I just think not every comedian has that ability to speak about something so serious, but make it part of an overarching narrative and a joke. And like, I don't want to use the phrase get away with it, but does it in a way that's punchy and powerful and still like entertaining.
Yeah, he goes from he talks about the fact that he's probably one of the only religious or spiritual ones, one people in his friendship group. And he talks about like one guy who asks, who's going through a separation, he's got a dog and he's asking him to pray for him and his dog. And then he like very quickly just moves, he's like talking about his friend Ahmed who has all his family's in Gaza. Yeah. And he's like, "We need to pray for them." And you're kind of watching, you're like, okay, right.
We've
jumped. And you like listening to it and be like, no, like every SNL monologue isn't joke.
It isn't.
And so then he talks very powerfully. He says, free Palestine, free the hostages. And then he ends with a joke about a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, but it's good.
It's really good. And I think these kind of like pop culture moments or cultural moments also like gain like momentum, or their importance is seen more over time. So like in 5 years' time, we'll look back at this moment as a time where maybe the conversation will shift about Gaza in a different way in popular mainstream media as well.
Were you expecting it to be as impactful? Is that kind of where you thought it was going to go? Because obviously we were like, we knew that he was doing that SNL before. Or did we think?
I didn't know what to expect. So I was like, oh, I hope it doesn't come off lackluster and that he like gave in to whatever pressures are. So I was hoping it wouldn't be that. I watched it the first time and I thought, oh, okay, that was okay. And then I watched it a second time and it wasn't like a ha-ha laugh out loud moment, but it was like, oh, this stuff is like really going to be important. Because he also talked about American politics.
Yeah.
He put that in there and talked about how something, I mean, I am not American. I haven't been to America, but about how there are, you know, Trump fans even in New York. And like, I didn't even think about that, you know, in my mind, oh, all like the Trump supporters are in the southern states. But he's talking about how in New York, like you still have that. So he was even speaking truth about these kind of his, because he's from New Jersey in New York, and talking about his day to day over there as well. So I thought that was enlightening for me, who's never been there as well.
And he gave Joe Biden a hard time.
He did. He did, which is great. And he kind of even said, like, I don't know which side I'm on, like left or right. Like, he even was very honest about that. And I think that is like what's happening with a lot of Americans right now. Like, they're not sure whether they're Biden or Trump. So I think that was, he was really speaking about the moment in so many different ways, which is, I think, what a good comedian or like a monologue does. Like, what's happening right now? These are the like the instance, the issues, and then adding that layer of funny to it.
Yeah, for sure. And no, yeah, it completely worked. And so then towards the end, he mentions the fact that Eid is coming up.
Yes.
Segue.
Eid is coming up. So back to it, we're doing a, what is that, round?
Yeah,
what is
we're doing
inner circle?
360.
360?
Just loop back around.
It's a full circle. Yeah, full circle moment. So yeah, it's Eid. Do you have any plans?
Not, so this was not deliberate, but I'm going to the Seychelles.
Oh, wow.
We're going for a wedding, a friend's wedding.
Oh, okay, nice. Have you been before?
No.
Okay.
Have you been?
No.
You don't like flying.
I don't like flying.
So you're probably never going
to go. I probably will never go.
Unless you go by boat.
I might go to the Maldives because I feel like it's so beautiful. I've been indoctrined to believe the Maldives is so beautiful that I will like, it'll like push the nerves away. Whereas I don't know anything about the Seychelles, but actually when you come back and you tell us about it,
I'll tell you
it
about
might
it.
Push the Maldives out of my head.
Yeah, I am very, very excited about it. So we're going for a wedding and then just having a bit of a holiday, which is very handily over Eid. So
perfect. You didn't plan, like it was just by coincidence.
We're going because of when the wedding was. Maybe planned it to be like, people will have a nice amount of time
from
off.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So my plans for Eid is to have breakfast and lunch and to spend time with my parents. My parents are moving back to New Zealand end of the year. So this is the last Eid I'll have with them in Dubai. So we'll chill and hang out together, which will be fun. And just make the most of the weather before it gets too hot, because we're already feeling it get quite humid.
Yeah, this is like, I do feel like I'm like, why are you going away now? Now's not the time to go away. Now's the time to be in Dubai and just sit outside and be here. But obviously we're going away for a wedding. So that's sensible why we're going away now. But the, the sun, like sunshine here is definitely time to be outside.
So even though in Eid you visit a lot of friends and family, also try to like go outside places, go to restaurants, because like I said,
yeah, talk me through. So we are getting 4 days of holiday.
Yeah.
Is every day a big celebration day, or is there big days? Talk me through it. Talk me through Eid.
So usually the first day is usually go see family.
Right.
So you usually go visit family members or in-laws or cousins. And then the following days you'll add in the family that you couldn't see on the first day if you have a big family. And then you make it more about friends.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I get a lot of questions from people saying like, oh, what do you take if you go visit somebody, or if you're invited for Eid lunch or invited for whatever? I just think like, keep it simple. Like the traditional stuff that you would get, traditional in inverted commas, quotation marks, is, you know, you get some dates or you get some baklava or Turkish delights for someone. That's nice. But I think a really nice thing to bring somebody during Eid is candles. Like, I think candles are like the best, like for every holiday, like you bring somebody a candle, it's nice. And there's so many interesting candle decorations now that are like Ramadani, Eid focused, that are shaped like moons and have like moon vibes to them. So get somebody a candle. It's like, it's really nice. I think it's a great thing to get someone.
And it's not going
to
go off.
It's not going to go off. And every time they light it, they'll think of you.
They'll think of you. Flowers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a flowers girl.
Yes, flowers are good.
Flowers are, but they don't last forever.
They don't last forever.
You go to Forever Rose, our good friend from
the Bible. Yes, from the Bible. <Bible. laughs> So candles, dates, baklava, and also there's so many different ways. We have an article on this in the paper, which is great. There's so many different ways to say Eid Mubarak. I mean, we know of Eid Mubarak.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Eid Mubarak, which means, you know, congratulations Eid, or like happy Eid.
Yeah.
But another way to say that as well is Eid Saeed. And that's very easy because one of our colleagues is called Saeed.
And I knew his name means happy.
It means happiness. So it basically means happy Eid. So those are the two like easy ones. There are ones that are like a little bit more like complicated, but they can be used outside of Eid as well. So for example, there's Kul Sana Anta Bkhair, which translates to every year, blessed blessings for every year.
Oh, okay,
which
nice.
Which is very nice. You can use that.
Is that even, for like multi-holiday?
Yeah, not only a multi-holiday, even birthdays. Oh. You know, Kul Sana Anta Bkhair, like I hope every year is a blessing, you know? What
like
else?
Spanish for like felicidades, like it's just everything.
It's happiness. Is it for everything as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we have a few. We have one as well that's Taqabbal Allah minna wa minnak. I think that's how you fully say it. Bad Arab. So it's basically like, may God accept whatever it is, like your blessings or your fasting from us to you type thing.
Okay.
So there's like various ways, but the most popular and the easiest ones is Eid Mubarak and Eid Saeed.
Obviously, yeah. When people read the word Eid in English, they say Eid, like E-E-D, not E-I-D, like Eid.
Eid, yeah.
Is that jarring?
Not at all.
Do you dislike it?
No, because my name and actually is Man, which has that same letter, that asan in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not easy for people to say, so they say Man, I'm fine with that. And honestly, I get people's name wrong all the time. Like common names, I get like common like Western names, I get wrong all the time. So I'm not really bothered. And I think honestly, especially in the region of Dubai, people are just happy or excited or like they really enjoy people making the effort, you know,
okay, it's, so
which I do. I'm always surprised when people say that. So it's great.
Yeah. So no one's going to be angry at Eid Mubarak or Eid Saeed.
No, it's the intention, not the execution, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. There we go.
What a nice message. Yeah. What a nice message. Yeah,
good way to end.
Well, that is it for today.
That is it for today.
We are going to be taking an Eid break next week, so we will see you the week after.
And don't forget to like and subscribe on all your favorite podcast apps, and don't forget to go on our social media and follow us and tell your friends about it.
Bye.
See ya.